Welcome, Commissioner, staff, and members of the public to the February 2022 plenary session of the Florida Building Commission. The primary focus of the February meeting, in addition to considering regular procedural issues, updates, briefings, and reports, is to decide on two declaratory statements and receive a briefing on mining interpretation number 233. As always, we will provide an opportunity for public comment on each of the commission's substantive discussion topics. If you want to comment on a specific substantive commission agenda item, please wait until the facilitator invites members of the public to speak at the appropriate times throughout the meeting. Public input is welcome, but should be offered before the commission begins discussion on or there is a formal motion on the floor. Tom Campbell will conduct roll call. Tom?
Great. Chairman Schock.
Here.
Commissioner Betts.
Here.
Commissioner Bouray.
Present.
Commissioner Brown?
Excused.
Commissioner Compton?
Here.
Commissioner Fisher? I saw him on. We'll circle back. Commissioner Gilson.
I'm here.
Commissioner Gross.
I'm here.
Commissioner Hershberger.
Present.
Commissioner John.
Here.
Commissioner Jones.
Here.
Commissioner Langille?
I'm here.
Commissioner Marker?
Here.
Commissioner Schiffer? Commissioner Schiffer, are you on?
Yep.
He's here, but for some reason we can't hear him. And Commissioner Swope?
Here.
And want to circle back to Commissioner Fisher. He is also on the call. I can see his green microphone. Commissioner Schiffer and Fisher, we cannot hear you, so you might want to call in on the phone if you can. All right, Commissioner or Chairman Schock, I'll go back to you.
Thank you. Tom, if you would review the agenda for the proposed February's commission meeting.
The proposed agenda is to approve regular procedural topics to consider and decide on the chair's discussion issues and recommendations, to consider and decide on executive director announcements and discussions, to receive an update on the work plan for the 8th edition of the Florida Building Code, to consider and decide on approvals and revocations of products and product approval and entities, to consider applications for accreditor and course approval, to receive a legal report briefing, to consider and decide on two petitions for declaratory statement, to receive a briefing on binding interpretation number 233, to receive and decide on reports and recommendations from committees, to hear commissioner and public comment, and to identify needed next steps, assignments, and agenda items for the next meeting, which will be April 12th in Jacksonville.
Thank you, Tom. Is there a motion to approve the February 22nd agenda as presented?
So moved, Bray.
Schiffer, second.
Bray, any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries. Thank you. Next will be approval of the December 14th, 2021 meeting minutes. Are there any corrections or additions to the posted December 14th, 2021 meeting minutes that were posted electronically in advance of this meeting? not, is there a motion to approve the December 14th, 2021 meeting minutes as presented?
Schiffer moves.
Thompson second.
Schiffer Thompson. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? That motion carries. Thank you. Under chair discussion issues and recommendations, under TAC appointments for the fire TAC, I'm appointing Doug Edwards to the fire TAC to replace Cheryl Edwards, who is retiring. Thank you to Cheryl for her years of service and to Doug for agreeing to serve. On the structural TAC, I am appointing Jason Seals to the structural TAC to replace Steve Orlowitzki, who recently resigned from the TAC. Thank you to Steve for his service and to Jason for agreeing to serve. Under milestone updates, as a reminder, the updated commission milestone document is linked to this month's FBC agenda on the BCIS. Tom Campbell will provide the commission with relevant updates, announcements, and discussions.
Good morning. Good morning. The first thing I have is an updated bills I know I sent you a matrix in the first part of January, and then sent some of these bills along too. Haven't been a lot of developments on the bills since then, but a couple of items I would like to touch on. Starting with CSHB 1702, Jim, if you could open that back up so everybody could see it.
Which?
In lines 146 through 151, it gives the commission a specific assignment to develop comprehensive structural and life safety standards for maintaining, inspecting all building types and structures in this state by December 31st, 2022. And the standards are addition to those provided in section and must be available for local governments to adopt at their discretion. This bill is moving along in the Senate. It seems to be a companion to SB 770 42, which I'll touch on next. If this bill or something like it were to pass, we would discuss the implementation of the bill at our April meeting. So I just wanted you to be aware of the assignment in here. Start thinking of ways that you might like to approach it, and we'll be able to have those discussions when and if it does pass at the April plenary session. Does anybody have any questions about this bill?
If I may.
Looking
at a couple of these bills, the first one you said all structures. I think another one I said residential structures. That brought the question whether they were just talking about condominium type residential, or are they talking about hotels, you know, R1s, R2s, R3s, R4s,
you're right. The first part of this bill, it creates milestone inspections and a whole inspection regime for existing bill and then development bill things. And the way that this bill is scoped is that it's the owner of a multifamily residential bill. So it's that multifamily residential bill and that the building is what the inspection regime in the bill would apply to, but the assignment to the commission as it's currently written is much broader than that and would encompass all building types.
Yep.
Anybody else have any questions about SB 1702? And then SB 7042 is a similar bill that has the same inspection regime as which Chairman Schott was just talking about, but it places it into Chapter 7818 and 719 of Florida statute, so it would only apply to condominiums of a certain height if only this bill were to pass. But as of right now, both bills are moving together, and it wouldn't be surprising to see them both pass and pass. They're not mutually exclusive, so we could definitely see something like these or these bills and these bills themselves be passed together. Does anybody have any questions about SB 74 and 42? It's a pretty long one, but it does contain a reference to the commitment to the commission and does that happen to develop standards. So we're watching it to see if it changes and if we need to follow it closer. And then another bill that was recently amended, and Jim, if you could open up amendment to HB 719, is a bill related to swim-up pool bars, and this one also has a specific assignment for the commission that we are tracking. And here it says that by January 1st of 2023, the commission must adopt into the code pursuant to Section 553 to 738 provisions for swim-up bars as defined in Section 514.015.10a, which is done earlier in the bill, including and the minimum signage requirements providing that food and beverages are permitted in the swim-up bar, an allowance for a wet deck obstruction related to a swim-up bar, and enhanced requirements for the swim-up bar's recirculation and treatment system above and beyond what is required of a typical public pool. This was recently amended. I believe it was last week, and this is now part of the actual bill. So we are watching it, and again, if this bill were to pass, we'll be discussing the potential potential implementation of the bill at the April commission meeting. Does anybody have any questions about HB 719? All right. Then that will take us to our future meetings. I have them. They're all listed there. In April, we'll be in Jacksonville, and then we are working on the sites for the October and December meetings. I can also tell you that the TAC meetings at the end of June, which Mo will touch on in his work plan, are going to be in Lake Mary, Florida. We've booked that and will provide the info for that when that meeting gets closer, when those meetings get closer. So, does anybody have any questions about the future meetings? All right. Chairman Schott, I'll go back to you.
Thank you, Tom. Next, we'll go to the 8th edition 2023 Florida Building Code Work Plan update. Mo Madani will now provide a review of the updated work plan and schedule for development of the 2023 code update process, 8th edition 2023. Mo?
Good morning, this is Mo Madani. Hey, Jim, can I share a screen so I can show the work plan?
Let me find you, Mo. I'm trying to find you, Mo. Hang on. Mo, if you would speak up so I can find you.
Hey, yeah. Hey, Jim.
There we go.
All right. Thank you, Jim. Can you see the work plan?
Yes.
Yep.
All right. All right. Well, good morning again. This is Mo Madani, and I'm going to go over this work plan that's been ongoing for some time now. As you know, we started in late 2019. So far we have completed phase one. When I say phase one, meaning the phase where we reviewed the 2021 international code changes. That's really, as you see, all these tasks are completed, and last December 14, the commission considered the TAC recommendation and took action on them. And based on the outcome of the meeting, staff mainly updated the system and posted the actions of the commission on the website. And that was completed January 3rd, 2022. Now, phase two, which started early this year, where, as you know, under phase two, any interested parties or individual can propose a code change to the foundation code, which is really the 2020 Florida Building Code and the international I-code changes, which were approved by the commission from the 2021 edition last December. So January 4th, we opened the cycle for people to submit the proposed code changes, and that cycle will end February 15th, next week. So far, we have received a total of 239 code changes that have been submitted, and majority of these were for the structural tag, which is about 77 for the structural tag. Swimming pool was the second in terms of size, 31, and then fire, 23, and then energy, 17. I know we have about a few days left. I know some people would like to wait for the last few days, so I expect this number will change, by 100 or so. So I'm hoping that this cycle will give us a list code changes than what we experienced previously. So let's help for that. That makes the work more easier to update the code. Now, that's really for the proposed code change. Any question on that? And also I'm asking for everybody who's really on the line to submit their code changes very soon. That will give staff an opportunity to comment on your code change and maybe get it fixed before the deadline. So I hope you can do that as soon as possible. Now, after the code changes are submitted and everything, and the deadline of February 15th, then we opened the first 45-day comment period or cycle. That will start in March 3rd, where every or interested group will have the opportunity to review these proposed code changes that submitted during the cycle, which is January 4th to February 15th, and comment on them. And the comments will be in the form of either general comment or alternate language. So any individual can improve on these code changes. The 45-day comment period will close April 18, 2022. And after it closes, then the staff mainly make sure everything is in order and the comments are good. Then staff come May 2nd, 2022, will generate the reports, the tracking chart, and the detail reports that you are familiar with to mainly prepare for the TAC to review the proposed code changes and to provide recommendation on them. The plan for the TAC to meet in June, as you see, between June 20 and 24th. Now, some of these TACs will meet via conference call if they have only few code changes, and some that have a lot of code changes then will meet on site. The way it looks now, it probably if you will, structural, maybe a fire or a swimming pool, etc., will meet on site. So we'll keep you updated with regard to the total and the status and the schedule for the meetings as we go move forward. After the tax meets and everything, and provide the recommendation, as you see, we're open what you call the second 45-day comment period, where any individual can come in and comment on the tax recommendation. And we open the cycle for the second 45-day July 12, 2022, and that cycle will close on August 26, 2022. After the second 45-day comment period closes, then staff mainly generate a report tracking chart for those modification and tech recommendations that receive comments, and those then those code changes will mainly sent, reviewed by the technical advisory committee as needed on the 10th, on mainly October 10th. The plan is to have the tax meet the 10th, 11th to the 14th, 2022. And in that, at this point, really the tax, they have the option to change their recommendation based on the comments received, or they could mainly affirm their recommendation with regard to those ones that received comments. And after that, then staff would publish the report, the tracking chart and detail report for the commission meetings, which is will be for the December 13, 14, 2022, where the commission would review the tax recommendation and take action on them. After that, then staff would put together what we call the supplement, which has all the approved code changes throughout this process that is really will be ultimately part of the 2023 update to the Florida Building Code. That supplement will be available online in July 19, 2023, and also will be made available to the International Code Council, ICC, to start the process of integrating them into the Foundation Code, which is the 7th edition 2020. And then after that, we start workshops. The plan is to have the first workshop March 13, etc. The plan also to have the integrated code available, the first draft, May 22nd, 2023, and then hope to have the code go into effect December 31st, 2023. Any question about the work plan? Any question about where we're heading with this, or reviewing the code changes, etc.? Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Matt. Commissioners, if there's no further discussion, is there a motion to approve the updated work plan and schedule for development of the 8th edition 2023 Florida Building Code? Is there a motion or second?
Schiffer will move it.
Compton second.
Schiffer, Compton, any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries. Thank you. Next, we'll move on to considering applications for product and entity approval. Commissioner Hershberger will present a consent agenda of entities recommended for approval and consent agenda for products recommended for approval. Commissioner Hershberger.
Thank you, Chairman Schock. Good morning, everybody. Product Approval POC is recommending approval of the consent agenda of 14 entities recommended for approval, and I move that.
Compton second.
Commissioner Compton, is there any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And motion carries.
Thank you. The Product Approval POC is recommending approval of the consent agenda of 155 products recommended for approval, and I move approval of that.
Compton second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries. Tom Campbell will now explain the process and present the POC recommendations, product approvals pooled from for individual consideration, and products with discussion or submitted public comment. Tom?
For the applications with comments, the members of the public will be offered an opportunity to comment on the consent agenda of products with comments that are recommended for approval. Commissioners will be offered an opportunity to pull the products off of the consent agenda, and then a vote will be taken on the consent agenda for approval and subsequently on any products pulled for individual consideration. We have eight products with comments with comments that are recommended for approval. Are there any members of the public who would like to comment on any of the products on the agenda? Are there any commissioners?
Oh. I'm sorry, this is Jamie. Good morning, everyone.
Yeah.
Could we see on the screen, if you could scroll to the left so we could see what the FL number applications are? That would be great. Thank you. Thank you. That's all, Tom.
Okay. Any commissioners who would like to pull any of the items from the consent agenda? All right, so is there a motion to approve the consent agenda of products with comments with comments that are recommended for approval to the 2020 code?
Hirschberger moves it.
Compton, second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries. Tom, the next is the comments.
If the members of the public will be offered an opportunity to comment on the consent agenda of process with comment with comments that are recommended for a conditional approval. We have three of those. And based on the conditions that are recommended by DPPR staff, commissioners will be offered an opportunity to pull process off of the consent agenda. And then a vote will be taken on the consent agenda for conditional approvals and subsequently on any products pulled for individual consideration. Is there any member of the public who would like to comment on the consent agenda for conditional approval? Are there any commissioners who would like to pull any of the consent agenda? All right, then we're looking for a motion to approve the consent agenda of products with comments that are recommended for conditional approval to the 2020 code based on the conditions that are recommended by DBPR staff analysis and reflected in the posted documentation.
Hirschberger, move approval.
Compton, second. Compton, any further discussion? There are none. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries. Thank you. Thank you, Tom. Next, we'll move on to consider applications for creditor and court's approval. Commissioner Bray will now present the educational policy recommendations regarding applications for creditor and court approvals. Commissioner Murray.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning. The Education POC did not receive for consideration any accreditor applications. The Educational POC reviewed three advanced accredited courses. The Education POC is recommending conditional approval of course numbers 1084.0 and 1086.0. Each course needs to have its title amended to comply with the requirements of Rule 61G20-6.002 before they can be approved. I move conditional approval of these two advanced accredited courses.
Schiffer will second.
Ray Schiffer, any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries. Thank you. Mr. Murray?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Education Policy POC is recommending approval of course number 1083.0. I move approval of this advanced accredited course.
Schiffer will second.
John
Gray Schiffer. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Michael?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Education POC reviewed one administratively approved, self-affirmed, updated course. The Education POC is recommending conditional approval of course number 1046.0. The title and title slide for the course needs to be amended to comply with the requirements of Rule 61G20-6.002 before it can be approved. I moved conditional approval of this course.
Schiffer will second.
Brian Schiffer, any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries. Thank you. Mike?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Education POC reviewed one administratively approved, self-affirmed, updated course. The Education POC is recommending denial of course number 939.1 because it contains more than one change. I move denial of this course.
Schiffer will second that.
Greg Schiffer, any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion to deny is approved. Next, we'll move on to a legal report. Justin will report on relevant legal matters of interest to the commission. Justin, anything?
Chairman Schock, there are no legal issues to report at this time.
Okay, thank you, Justin. So now we can move on to petitions for declaratory statements. Justin Ogle will serve as the commission's legal counsel. Following is the process we will be using for each of the petitions in turn. Justin will review the petition and the TAC and POC recommendations. I will ask the petitioner wishes to add any additional information, and then I will ask that there's public comment, and then the commission will consider or decide on the petition. Justin, if you would begin with DS 2021-0.06 book.
Yes. This is a petition by Priscilla Huff of Advanced Building Products, Inc. Petitioner is a manufacturer of entangled net products for drainage and ventilation applications in commercial and residential construction. Petitioner states that their products provide no structural integrity and wishes to know whether they would fall within the scope of the state product approval program. The product approval POC considered the petition on February 1st and recommended that staff's suggested answer, which has been provided to you, be adopted without change. Mo?
Yeah. Mo Medani, the answer to the petitioner question is no. Based on Rule 61G, 20-3.001, the scope, and 61G23.002 definitions, the drainage and ventilation products in a question are not structural products and therefore do not fall within the scope of the state product approval program. However, these products must meet the requirements of the Florida Building Code and are subject to approval by the local authority having jurisdiction. Thank you.
Thank you, Mel. First, are there any clarifying questions from the commission? Next, does the petitioner wish to address the commission? Is there any public comment? Okay, we'll go back to the commission for action. The recommendation of the product approval POC recommends the commission approve the POC recommendations on the petition. Is there a motion?
Hershberger move.
Second. A motion was made and seconded to move staff analysis. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? That motion carries. Thank you.
The next petition is DS 2022-002 by Alan Douglas of the American Council of Engineering Companies of Florida. petitioner is an organization which represents professional engineers, some of whom provide private provider services and threshold building inspection services. Petitioner poses the following question about the services that its members may provide. Pursuant to sections 553.79 and 553.791 Florida statutes, may a qualified private entity perform both private provider services and required threshold inspections on the same threshold building? A substantially similar question was posed by the petitioner through a prior request for a binding interpretation, and the commission dismissed that petition at its October 2021 meeting. Since the questions dealt predominantly with statutory provisions rather than code requirements, the commission has the authority to issue declaratory statements relating to the enforcement or administration of the Florida Building Code by local governments, so it is probably within its jurisdiction to issue a declaratory statement on this topic. The Code Administration TAC considered the petition on January 31st and recommended that staff's suggested answer, which has been provided to you, be adopted without change. The answer was as follows. Yes. Section 553.795A Florida statutes does not prohibit an entity from both performing special inspections on a threshold building and private provider services for that building. A special inspector does not serve as a surrogate for carrying out the responsibilities of the building official merely by providing private provider services, since the local enforcing agency possesses and retains various oversight responsibilities and powers with respect to both special inspections and private provider services. As long as an entity has the appropriate qualifications to offer private provider services and to perform threshold inspections, the provisions of Section 553.795 Florida statutes do not prohibit that entity from performing both private provider services and threshold inspections on the same building.
Thank you, Justin. Are there any clarifying questions from the commission? Does the petitioner wish to address the commission?
The petitioner does not wish to address the commission at this time, but I assume I'll have an opportunity if there's some public comment or any questions.
Okay. Are there any public comments? Okay, we'll go back to commission action. The Code Administration TAC recommends the commission approve the TAC's recommendation on the petition. If there is no further discussion, commissioners, is there a motion to approve the Code Administration TAC's recommendations on the petition?
Dave Gelson, I move to approve.
Schiffer will second.
Gelson, Schiffer. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries. Thank you, Devin. Now, next will be a briefing on binding interpretation number 233. Mel will now provide a briefing on the binding interpretation. Mel?
This is Momedani. The binding interpretation panel took up binding interpretation 233, January 4th, 2022. And a specific issue or question with regard to this binding interpretation was as follows. Can the proposed attached dwelling unit, 2-unit, 3-unit, and 4-unit, be classified as townhouse dwelling units subject to the requirements of the FBC residential volume using imaginary property lines? And the issue here is really with regard to the definition in the code of townhomes, and which refers to a property line instead of imaginary line. So the answer of the panel was as follows. The panel answered this question in the negative with respect to classifying the 3 and 4 unit buildings being classified as townhouse dwelling units subject to the requirement of the FBC residential volume using imaginary property line. There felt like the code is very specific and a property line is the one to use and cannot, you know, you cannot really substitute for it using the imaginary line concept. Thank you.
Thank you, Mel. And there's no action required on that. Next, we'll go on to committee reports and recommendations. Committee chairs, please confine your TAC or POP reports to a brief summary of key issues and recommendations, emphasizing any issues requiring an action from the commission. Please frame any needed commission action in the form of a motion
acceptance of a committee report does not approve any recommendations contained within the report, and specific recommendations must be considered by separate motion. There's no need to read the TAC or POC minutes, as the completed minutes are linked to the commission's agenda for approval today and will also be linked to the committee's subsequent meeting agenda for approval by the respective committees. Tom will facilitate any discussion or recommendations for commission action by the committees. We'll start out with the code administration TAC. Commissioner Gilson will now present the code administration TAC report and any recommendations. Commissioner Gilson?
Good morning, everybody. The code admin TAC met on January 31st, 22 at 10 a.m. to consider DS 2022-002 by Alan Douglas. We unanimously approved staff recommendations, and we concluded at 10:38.
And you're moving the report?
Yes, sir. I move to for approval for the tax findings.
Is there a second?
Schiffer will second.
Gilson and Schiffer, any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. Thank you. Next, we'll move on to the educational POC. Commissioner Beret will now present the education POC report. Any recommendations?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The educational POC met on February 1st. We had a quorum. We've reviewed all the recommendations previously in this meeting and have no further additional information to add. I move the report.
Sir, second.
Schiffer will second.
Ray Schiffer, any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? That motion carries. Thank you. Next, we'll move on to the product approval POC. Commissioner Hershberger will now present the product approval POC report and any recommendations. Commissioner Hershberger?
Thanks, Chairman Schock. The product approval POC met on February 1st and provided the commission with recommendations on entity and product approval, all of which have been acted on by the commission earlier today. I move acceptance of the meeting minutes.
Compton, second. I'm sorry, who said Compton, second?
Compton, yes.
Okay, commission moved to second it. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries. Thank you. Next, we'll move on to commission member comments and issues. Are there any commissioners who wish to make a comment or identify any issues for discussion or clarification for the next commission meeting? Anyone? Hearing none. I'll move on for public comment. The commission welcomes your comments on its actions or any other topic under the commission's purview and authority. Public comment will be limited to 3 minutes per person. If you wish to speak, please let us know at this time. No public comment.
One public comment.
Yes, go ahead.
Good morning, members of the commission, Chris Dawson of Orlando. Just a quick clarifying question related to code errata. I know we went through a cycle of errata last year, and preparing some code modifications with some clients, we have come into a couple of instances where we do think that we may have some qualifying errata, just simply technical or cleaning up the code. We are prepared to file those as modifications as well, to preserve the right to address those via that vehicle, but wanted to get clarity from the commission whether there could be a consideration of additional errata this year as part of the amendment process. And so that would be the question, and would seek clarification from the commission on that topic, again, of being able to work with staff on strictly errata rather than pursuing those as code modifications.
Is that one you want to handle, or Justin?
This is Justin Vogel. I can chime in that there's no legal impediment per se to the commission considering, you know, bona fide errata. There may be practical implications and sort of the timeline of development of the code about, you know, and also where some of these potential issues fit in. But no, there's no strict legal bar. I think it would really be up to the commission probably to determine how best to handle these potential issues.
Yeah, if I could add, I think errata has some specific requirements too, doesn't it, Jason, as far as it meeting certain guidelines and so forth. I mean, if you know the issue, probably the modification route would be the best way to go. That way you know it gets in front of the commission, and they might, where in errata, they may choose not to do an errata. So that's my two cents, but.
Yeah, it does have to be a demonstrated error, and so some of the cleanup issues the speaker referred to are things that, based on my initial review of some of the issues, I think that they probably are better suited for the code mod process because they aren't necessarily errors per se. There might have been a couple that would be potentially errors that, you know, could be properly addressed by an errata process. They could also be addressed by the code modification process. Again, that would also sort of depend probably on the commission's evaluation of how serious they are and how urgently they need to be taken care of, and whether they are errors.
Thank you, Justin. Does that answer your question?
It does. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment? Hearing none, I think we can adjourn. Record time, 9:22.
Great meeting, Jim.
Thank you, everyone. Appreciate it.
Thank you, everybody.